بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. عن سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله عنه قال: جاءني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يعودني من وجع اشتد بي، فقلت: بلغ بي ما ترى، وأنا ذو مال ولا يرثني إلا ابنتي، وذكر الحديث، متفق عليه. Continuing with the chapter which deals with the permissibility of attesting to the great pain or difficulty or hardship a sick person is experiencing, that from a shari'i point of view there's no problem with saying that my head is very sore or my body is paining or I'm experiencing a lot of fever. This will not be contrary to shari'at, nor will it be constituted as something which goes against taqdeer and accepting that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting us through, provided we don't make these expressions as a complaint or as we are complaining of our condition in this way, that we are unhappy or dissatisfied with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yesterday we discussed the hadith Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala narrated, where he described the extreme fever which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced during the what we call maradul wafat, the terminal illness in the latter part of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith, the narrator is Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has just mentioned a very, very short part of the hadith. The hadith passed previously and in greater detail later on in the kitab it will come again. The part of it that was pertinent to the subject matter that we are currently discussing, that section Imam Nawawi rahimahullah mentioned. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that Ja'ani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ya'uduni. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to visit me min waja'in ishtadda bi, because of a very, very severe, ishtadda gives us an indication, very, very severe pain and sickness Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was experiencing. This, before we continue further with the hadith, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visiting the Sahaba when they were sick, giving them comfort, giving them support, etc. This shows us the extreme love and kindness that was part of the akhlaq and character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And very, very important that we also implement and adopt that, bring that into our lives. A friend, sati in your masjid, somebody you involved with in tabligh, or even somebody who works for you, an associate, becomes sick, becomes ill, visit the person, inquire after his health, see if you can assist and help that person in whatever way. This is part of Shariat and Deen. So he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to me to visit me, min waja'in ishtadda bihi, because of a very severe illness and pain I was experiencing. Faqultu, so I said to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, بَلَغَ بِي مَا تَرَى. بَلَغَ بِي مَا تَرَى. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you can see my condition. In other words, I'm suffering so much. The suffering is absolutely evident. So this section of the hadith is why Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought this particular hadith in this chapter. That when you visited someone, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this case. Now, if it was not permissible to say this, can you see how much of pain I'm in? How great this sickness or this hardship is? If it was not permissible to say that, then immediately Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have reprimanded the Sahabi, or would have, in a kind or a nice way, told him that, you know what, don't say this type of thing. But it was permissible, because Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu was not saying it as a complaint. He was saying it as informing the Nabi of Allah what he is experiencing. Perhaps appealing for du'as. I'm in great pain, I'm in great discomfort. In other words, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or sometimes an expression like this, balagha bi ma tara, I'm going through so much of hardship and difficulty, can be an indication of one's humility, humbling oneself before Allah. That, Ya Allah, you have put me through so much of dukkh and pain, I accept it, but Ya Allah, make it easy for me. Give me afiyat, give me comfort, etc. So, a lot of these expressions, it's very, very important that we understand what the motivation is. If it is ala sabil tasakhut, if the motivation is to exhibit anger, why me, why not somebody else, then it is very dangerous. But if there is no such motivation, etc., then it will be perfectly permissible. So he said, balagha bi ma tara. Said, Ya Rasulullah, you can see my condition. What was he trying to say? He was trying to say that, Ya Rasulullah, in my mind and heart, I have reached the end of my life. I don't think I am going to survive this illness. Why I am saying that? Because you look at what he says after that. بَلَغَ بِي مَا تَرَى وَأَنَا ذُو مَالٍ. I am very, very wealthy. I am very wealthy, and all I have amongst my living relatives is my daughter. So in other words, Ya Rasulullah, as far as I am concerned, this is such a severe illness that I can't see myself surviving it. Allah, in other words, he feels my taqdeer is such that my time is up now. I'm going to die as a result of this illness. This is why he said, بَلَغَ بِي مَا تَرَى. He wasn't complaining. He was, in fact, perhaps appealing for dua from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he wanted to find out something from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very important lesson we learn, that when you are sick, especially if it's a severe illness, and some scholar or some spiritual senior or guide has to come and visit you, then use that opportunity to find out the shari'i masla that is worrying you. There was something worrying, or some advice, or some shari'i guidance that Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is why he said, بَلَغَ بِي مَا تَرَى. Ya Rasulullah, you can see my condition. In other words, as far as I'm concerned, I've reached the end. I'm not going to survive. أَنَا ذُو مَالٍ. This word, ذُو مَال, is an expression, means it is normally used when somebody is very wealthy. So he's trying to say that at this point in my life, I have a lot of surplus wealth. I'm going to die now. It's of no use to me. I'm not going to be able to use it. So, and وَلَا يَرِثُنِي إِلَّا إِبْنَتِي. Ya Rasulullah, living heirs I have is only my daughter. وَذَكَرَ الْحَدِيثِ. And Imam Nawawi rahimahullah does not complete the hadith in this, at this juncture. But obviously, for those of us who are, perhaps the curiosity is there, that what was the crux of what transpired. Few important points. Before we come to that, first, as I mentioned, to make this expression, بَلَغَ بِي مَا تَرَى, that I am in severe pain, as far as I am concerned, I have reached the end of my life, as long as you are not complaining. Which in his case, he wasn't complaining. He was explaining his situation, so that he could get some dini and shari'i advice from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this will be perfectly permissible. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sahib shariat. Not only is sunnat what he actually did, what occurred in front of him, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not object to it, or did not prohibit it. As far as the ulama are concerned, that also will be part of sunnah. Would be part of Shariat, or in the very least, it will show us permissibility. Especially when it comes to, because you can see from the question thereafter that he asked, that Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas is seeking advice about inheritance. And inheritance is something that is very, very delicate and very, very strict in Shariat. Inheritance, this hasn't been left to our intellect to decide how to distribute your wealth. You've only got allowance up to 1/3. More than that, Allah has decided. Yusikumullahu fi auladikum lidhakari mithlu haddil unthayin. Two rukus in the Quran, the laws of inheritance are clearly mentioned. So inheritance is something that is very, very delicate, what you leave behind. For example, to illustrate this point, that if something is not permissible, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately will prohibit it. He won't allow it to happen in front of him. That is why the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't object means that it is permissible. Sometimes something is what we call makruh tanzihi. One is makruh tahrimi. In other words, something that Shariat has made haram, not permissible openly. Sometimes the degree of impermissibility is a lighter degree. In other words, permissible but frowned upon. Permissible but frowned upon. This is what we call makruh tanzihi. Even that, particularly when it comes to inheritance and things like that, or what we are, or the distribution of our wealth, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very particular. Like we find one sahabi, Numan bin Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhu ghaliban, comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, I've got this certain property, I'm going to put it on the name of my son. I'm going to give it to one of my children. I want you to be a witness to this. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first question he asked him, now you are alive, you want to distribute your wealth whilst you are alive. You want to give hadiah or gift, something of yours, you want to give it to one of your heirs. In this case, it's a son, so it's an heir. In other words, an Islamic heir. When you die, he has a share in your wealth. Whilst you are alive, you want to give him something. So, if you've got more than one child, then this is going to be disproportionate distribution. In other words, you are favoring one child over the other. So straight away, when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now, there's two issues here. One, is it permissible? Yes, it is permissible. Whilst you are alive, you can distribute your wealth. You're not doing something haram or something like that. But, does Shariat encourage this? Is Shariat happy about it? Here, even though it was something permissible, but the fact that Shariat frowns upon it, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't allow it to happen in front of him. Ya Rasulullah, I've got this piece of wealth, I want to give it to my son. First question Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, is this your only child? Is this your only child, or do you have other children? So the sahabi responded and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have other children also. I want to, in other words, specially give it to this particular child. So immediately Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La ashhadu ala jawr. The Nabi of Allah will not be a witness to zulm and oppression. In other words, as far as Shariat is concerned, this is oppression. Why are you disproportionately giving preference to one child over the other children? So far as permissibility is concerned, it was permissible, but frowned upon. So even this, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not allow it to occur in front of him. So, coming back to this hadith, if this expression, بَلَغَ بِي مَا تَرَى, and thereafter the advice that he asked, so far as the distribution of his wealth, was something that was frowned upon even in Shariat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi would not have allowed it to occur in front of him. What transpired in that particular incident, like I said very briefly, is very, very interesting. We'll mention it, but we've run out of time today, so inshallah we'll continue tomorrow.